I've tried to give an open account of who I am and how I got to where I am today. Most of the incidents in this book, very few people knew about until now. I'm donating a percentage of my royalties from this book and any money from a film to my favourite charity, the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne. Looking back on my life, I certainly regret a few things I did, particularly when I was younger. If I had my time again, there are a lot of things I would change. I definitely would have avoided going to jail and dragging my family through all that heartache. But you can't undo what's done. So here's my story. Nick Gatto, August 2009. 1. A death in Carlton. My life changed forever the day I shot dead Australia's busiest hitman. It was Tuesday the 23rd of March, 2004, and Andrew, Benji Venuman, had dropped in at La Pochella restaurant in Carlton for a chat. We were standing in a back room talking when I told Andrew that he could no longer be trusted and I didn't want to see him anymore. My most vivid memory of that day is the look on his face. His eyes started spinning in his head and his whole expression changed. He went from Dr. Jekyll to Mr. Hyde. I couldn't believe it. I thought he was about to throw a punch, but he produced a gun. I don't know where it came from, the back of his pants, I think. I froze for a moment, then my boxing reflexes saved me as I pushed the gun away. It went boom, straight past my head. I was convinced the bullet hit me, but it hadn't. It just left gunpowder marks on my jacket. The noise was deafening. I grabbed hold of his arm and turned the gun on him, squeezing his hand on the trigger, forcing him to shoot himself. And I kept squeezing. I had no idea how many shots were fired until much later. It was like one explosion after another. It was such a small room. Then I fell on the ground on top of him. He was gurgling and gasping, and I pulled the gun out of his hand, and as he lay there, blood bubbling out of his mouth, I knew he was gone. In the months that followed, as I lay awake in my prison cell at night, the vision of him lying, gurgling on the ground played over and over in my mind. My plan that day had been pretty simple. I had to finish painting the garage door at home, meet a few people to talk business over lunch, then visit my cousin Roy, the Royal Melbourne Hospital. He'd undergone surgery for cancer of the jaw, and that would be it. I was running late, so I asked Charlie, who cleaned the spa at home, to finish the paintwork. I gave him $100. Then I jumped in the car and took off, picked up Ronnie. That's Ron Borghetti, a long-time gambler in his mid-70s and a close friend of Gatto's, and drove to La Pochella. It had become my office, a place where I'd meet builders, businessmen, union officials, friends. Most days I was there. I felt safe because I was confident that the police had the building under surveillance, which was important. 3 months earlier, my close friend, Graham Kinnaburra, had been shot dead outside his home, and I'd made it my mission to find out who killed him. 6 people had also been shot in the few months before Graham was killed, and the word was out that I was next. And so, I was carrying a gun again, or making sure one was nearby. That Tuesday, I had to talk with a few people. There was a Chinese bloke who had some sort of asbestos problem in a building in Collins Street, and he wanted me to talk to the union and limit the cost to fix it. There was a bloke named Jeff, a demolition wrecker specialist. He's a rough diamond, been in and out of trouble all of his life, drugs and things, and a mad punter. He called in to see me about a building dispute, then hung around and had a beer and some to eat. Lunch was fish and salad. It wasn't bad. I used to enjoy the food there. I met quite a few people that day, and luckily, most of them were too busy to stay for lunch, or they would have been caught up in what happened next. I'd met Andrew Venuman 3 or 4 years earlier. He was introduced to me.